first reading is from Amos, chapter 5, verse 18. Alas for you who desire the day of the Lord. Why do you want the day of the Lord? It is darkness, not light. As if someone fled from a lion and was met by a bear, or went into the house and rested a hand against the wall and was bitten by a snake. It is not the day of the Lord. Is not the day of the Lord darkness, not light, and gloom with no brightness in it? I despise your festivals, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the offerings of well-being of your fatted animals, I will not look upon. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody. I will not listen to the melody of your harps, but let the justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream.
Bob, I'm glad you read that, not me. That reading will pin your ears back. The prophet Amos was a long-suffering prophet of God who served in a time well before Jesus, when Israel, well, Judah, the nation was really not following God. It was going through the motions, sure. People were going to temple, and they were bringing their sacrifices, their doves and their sheep and such to be sacrificed. But as you hear in that reading, God says through Amos, look, it's not what I want. I don't want you to just worship. I don't want you to just come in by rote like you're punching a clock. But I want justice to roll down like water. I want you to treat each other better. I want you to be holy. God made us to be holy. And Amos is saying, essentially, if we're not being holy, if we're not after God's own heart, then why bother to worship at all? Challenging reading for each and every one of us. And now the gospel reading from Matthew, the 25th chapter. Now Jesus has left the temple after teaching there, foretelling the destruction of the temple. He has created great controversy in Jerusalem. And now he's speaking to his disciples. And he says, then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, look, here comes the bridegroom. Come out and meet him. Then all those bridesmaids got up, trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise replied, no, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves. And while they went away to secure it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he replied, truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The title of the sermon this morning is Get Wise to Christ's Expectations. Reading a parable, it's important to look at the symbolism. The bridegroom is coming to the little town, as we already said in the children's message. And when the bridegroom came to town, there was a welcoming committee that would go out and light his way in to welcome him home for the great wedding feast. Now, Christ is talking about his return in terms of a wedding feast. And needing and expecting the people of the town to be ready to welcome him and light his path in for the feast. So, the kingdom of God, the expectations of Christ, are that there are going to be people ready, willing, and able to light the way back in. That would be us. We're the ones waiting, right? We're the ones waiting for Christ to come back. The lamp, the oil, well, that is that which brings light in the darkness. And what brings light in the darkness? The wisdom and word of God brings light in the darkness. So we are asked to be ready, fully embracing the word of God, to help Christ come back into the world. The oil. What is the oil in the lamp? What is it that burns that brings us our light? Our prayers, they said, right? We'll skip the drinks and the sleep and all the others. They're important. But the prayers, the praying, the loving, the reading of Scripture and study of Scripture and community, that puts the oil in our lamp. So for a moment, let's not be selfish with our faith. For a moment, let's not read this parable and think, have I got oil in my lamp? For a moment, let's not think of God and Jesus and the cosmos moving and Christ coming to earth and dying on the cross solely to get us into heaven. Let's think about God and Christ as a blessing to others and to all. Let's think for a moment, assuming we are wise virgins, assuming we are the wise ones who have oil in our lamp, let's think for a moment of our responsibility toward the quote-unquote foolish virgins, the ones who aren't prepared, the ones who have not studied Scripture, the ones who do not know how to pray or do not pray because they feel alienated in some way. Let's think about the ones who don't feel the love of a Christian community centered on the worship and work of God. And Jesus isn't here yet. Do you think it would be a good idea for a wise waiter for Christ to do everything in your power to get oil in the lamp of that not-so-wise individual? The one who's never had Scripture open to them. The one who, for some reason, sees an obstacle to coming into church. The one who feels alienated from a loving community. Now, I know what this community means to me. I look out here and I still see a few faces left from the old days that helped to raise me and helped to teach me about love and Christ and my place in the world. How about those people who don't know they're welcome, who don't know that this is a place where they can be filled up, who don't know Scripture because they've never sat in a Bible study before or never heard a sermon preached by someone without an 800 number flashing underneath them? How about those individuals who don't understand how deeply and profoundly God loves them? And what a difference they can make in the world. Get wise to Christ's expectations. Suggests to me, first of all, that we recognize how blessed we are here among each other, to have each other. It's a wonderful thing. And second, to realize that this blessing is not ours to keep. It is ours to share. It is ours to share. We want everybody to be lighting the path for Jesus Christ. We want everybody to come in. We want everybody to have the opportunity for conviction. You know, if I didn't have this faith and I didn't have all of you, God knows where I would be. God knows the mistakes I would make, the sins I'd get caught up in, the difficulties I would face and be ill-equipped to do anything. You know, when we invite other people in here, sure, we want them to feel loved and welcomed. But just like Jesus, we want them to feel a little bit disturbed as well. We want them to take a long, hard look at themselves and their lives. We want them to take a hard look at their own prejudices and set them down. And set them down. What we want to share is truly amazing grace. Let's not get in the way. Let's share that grace. Amen.